So basically, we have a problem. The problem is the Gemara, the Maseches Shabbos begins with Otzah. Okay? With this case of Otzah. Basically, for to be Chayav for Otzah Deoraisa, you need Akira and Hanacha. To be Chayav for Otzah Derabanan, you have either one of them. To be Asur Min Derabanan. Okay. And the problem is, why does the Masechta start with this Mishnah? That's a big problem. All the Rishonim deal with, okay? Why does it start with this Mishnah? So you say, why not? Well, the answer why not is because the Riva noticed that there's a trend in a lot of Masechtas, which is that the Mishnayos are organized according to the Seder Hayom. Okay, which is, for instance, and then Shabbos goes that way also. Besides for this one mission, it starts off with a lot of things which are asar, midrabanan, and erev Shabbos, like hatmana, or it starts with like a tailor wearing a needle in his, going out with his needle, or like putting some dyes into the water on erev Shabbos, or sending your clothing to the cleaners, like a lot of gezeiros on erev Shabbos. Then it works its way into things that are asar, like right. Much closer, Bamei Madlikim, which is really even closer to Shabbos, like lighting your Shabbos candles. Then it has Hadmana, which is even closer, because that's even Mutter and Bein Hashmashos, it's only Asar later on. Then it goes, it has all those. Then it works its way. Finally, it gets to the Malachos in the seventh parak. Okay, so after it goes through all these durable, then it has the Shabbos things, but things that are the jewelry that you're not allowed to wear out. So that's really an Isser of wearing out on Shabbos. But you put it on Erev Shabbos. So it's kind of like on Shabbos, but it still kind of belongs to Erev Shabbos a little bit. And then it has the things which are 100% the Shabbos things. And those are the Lamed Tes Malachos. So basically the whole flow of the Masechta is going in chronological order. Okay? And similarly he shows that Pesachim does that. It starts with Bedika on Erev Pesach, and then works its way to the more Pesach morning, and then it works its way to Pesach after Chatzos, then it works its way to Pesach. And similarly by Yoma, it starts 7 days before Yom Kippurim and works its way towards Yom Kippurim. That's a style. Okay? And therefore, it's funny how Hotzah is out of place, because Hotzah should really have been in the seventh parak with the Malachos, the Shabbos thing. But somehow, the Misalta starts with Hotzah, then it goes back to the Durabonans of Erev Shabbos, so it's out of order. Okay? Fine. So we explain the logic of the question. Is because it sounds like what's the logic of these orders? So we said that one main objective of Mishnayos was that they were written in a way with that they should be memorized. That they'll be able, a person will be able to memorize them and know them cold. That's why Mishnayos are usually very brief. They're written in ways that are mnemonics, the type of different ways that they're written so that people will be able to remember them and derive the halachas. They're not as lengthy as you would want if it's a full exposition of the material. But it's written in a way that's quick, to the point, and it's organized in a manner which will be able to be remembered, and therefore they'll be maintained. So he said that that's a very good method of remembering whole Masechta. Basically, it goes to the Koran Seder Hayom. It's very easy. You can remember that. You can organize the whole thing and remember it. You start off. You know how the Yom goes, so you'll be able to have a good handle on the whole Masechta like that. Okay. So the question is the problem is, why do you have Hotzah first? Okay. So Tosa said three answers, right? Okay. But let's leave those. Okay, the Ron has a new answer. So he says, because the first thing that he mentions is, one of the first things is, lo yetzei chayet b'machato. Okay? That the tailor can't go out with his needle. The tailor can't go out with his needle. On Shabbos, and I'm like, oh, this needle, because it's a gezerah, maybe you'll take it out and carry it. Okay? So it says, but carry it. What's carrying? So you're not carrying it. So it has to first tell you about carrying, and then it can tell you about the gezerah that you're not allowed to go out with your needle, because maybe you're going to carry. Otherwise, you don't know what carrying is. So you have to first mention carrying in order to talk about the gezerah atu carrying. The problem is that there are other gezeras in the first parak. For instance, he can't. What does he mention? He says, "Yes." Okay. Also, the thing is, like, he can't read by a candle because he may move it and that'll be lighting it, right? Or you can't soak dyes in the water, Maybe also Mitzvah, I'm not sure exactly. But basically you have a lot of other gezeiros which are tied in based upon their raisas, which that's the case. The first, it should start with Hutzah, and then it should start with Havara, it should start with Bishol, it should start with, I mean, it should have a lot of things that you have to talk about before, and it doesn't do that. This is the only thing. Right? Okay, that's the problem. So Tosus said, no, they said because Hutzah is Malacha Geruah, and therefore you can't leave it out. Okay, which we did yesterday. But the Ran doesn't like that. Apparently he doesn't like that distinction. So he says, no. He says, because all those other things were brought in, agav gurara, they're dragged in together with lo yetzei chayev b'machata, which is the case of the tailor with his needle. Okay? The whole Mishnah only brought those in, all those other gzeiros only brought in because of this tailor gzeira. And the Mishnah is trying to tell you, just like there were gozer that a chayat can't go out with his macha, with his needle, so too there were gozer and all these other things. Okay, and that's why it brought them in. And that's why it says it even has the gezerah that you're not allowed to kovei asuda, for instance, before mincha. Okay, that's on Erev Shabbos. That's on every day, really. It's not even only Erev Shabbos. But you see, he's throwing in all different kinds of gezerahs. That's even earlier on the day on Friday, but it's not only a Friday thing. What he's saying is that once you're saying the needle, the macha, you know, the tailor, it's throwing in all the gezeiros that could possibly come up, all these different gezeiros you come up with on Friday. But really, they're all there, being dragged along with this one gezeira of the chayat, of the tailor. And he says, and therefore, it's enough to just explain what the chayat is based upon, which is hatzah. And all the other ones, you don't have to explain the derises because, after all those other ones are only brought in because of the chayat. So you don't have to go at length of the things which are only brought in parenthetically. They're only brought in parenthetically. So it's a kashem, just like your goes are this, your goes are those. But you don't have to bring in the whole derises, and you don't have to give all the Torah about those other gezeros because they're just brought in. Okay? So it's a good answer if you could defend why it is that the Mishnah is so interested in lo yetzei chayat as opposed to anything else. I mean, why that's the one gezeira of this whole parak. That's what Rabbi Yonasser wanted to teach me. That's really the only thing he wanted to teach me. That there's an isser that a tailor can't go out with his needle. Everything else is not really important. Not really, the Mishnah didn't really want to teach you all together. But it just threw those in because, hey, what the heck, we're already talking about lo yetzei chayat, so let's just throw those all in. I mean, why that's, if you read the Mishnah, it sounds like that's just another example, one of the many examples, and the Ran himself said that it's going through Erev Shabbos, and it's showing you the Seder of the whole parah, the whole day, which is showing you, starting off with the Gezeiras, the Erev Shabbos, and working its way through. So, in the order, he's not saying that it's only interested in Lo Yetzei Chayat. Lo Yetzei Chayat is one particular Gezeira. I mean, you can't just make one thing into the whole essence of the parak. I mean, see, the whole first six prakim are all, and so the first four prakim are all because of lo yetzei chayat. I mean, hashi, adma. I mean, a lot of derabbanans here. I mean, what about those? Didn't talk about bishul. I mean, talking about shi and adma, all that stuff. That's just all because of lo yetzei chayat. I mean, it's not. I mean, it answers the question if you accept the promise, but it just sounds like a wild promise. Sounds like that's what he's saying, though. I mean, that's the pshat of what he's saying, at least, right? Okay, so David asks also, is that, why is it, forget about this problem, about all the other, you know, about the other ones, but why is it that you have to explain Hotzah in order to say Lo Yetzei Chayat? We understand there's Nisr of Hotzah, right? And he's rejecting, he's not going with Malacha Geruah. So apparently we understand there's Nisr of Malacha, so Hotzah is one of the Malachas, so why can't we just talk about the Gezerah of the Chayat, Atu, Hotzah? You don't know what Hotzah is? Yeah, well, you know, don't worry, everyone here knows what Hotzah is, everyone understands that that's a Malacha. You know, that's why is it necessary to mention it first? Why is it necessary to first mention the Hotzah? Right. That, I mean, we said yesterday could kind of apply to that. I mean, we did say because Malacha Geruah. Like, remember, I don't know if you noticed, but yesterday we pointed out that even in Tosa says, since Malacha Geruah, therefore you're Tvei. You have to mention that Tvei than the other ones, more than the other ones. But the other ones, like,
is
we did.
Accepting that premise?
What?
That's the whole question.
Well, not on the fact that it's Tvei. Not that Malacha Geruah is more, but
he doesn't say anything about that at all, though.
No, but he says the fact that, no, not because Malacha Geruah, he doesn't say anything about it. Right. But Tosos held that it would, in theory, you could have mentioned the other ones also. It's just that Malacha Geruah is more than the other ones.
Okay, you know, but like, if he maintains that, I just have to see him say that.
No, he's not maintaining that.
Right.
He is maintaining that you sh- that it, that it makes sense before every single malacha you talk about, you should talk about the deraisa. Every gezeira you talk about, you should talk about the deraisa. In theory, you should have done that.
You're saying in general.
You're right. And Tosos also held that. Tosos also held that it made sense. But you weren't going to mess up the whole order to start giving a whole long exposition. So, but Malacha Gerua, you couldn't not mention it because you need the context of Malacha Gerua. The other ones, right. It's true, it would have been better, but you know.
Right. So then you have to have the main question.
Right. Right. I mean, we said for that, it's just the idea that in a presentation, it makes sense. There's a logic to a presentation, is even though you may happen to know, parenthetically, you may know about the malachos, but the logical presentation is if you have a Darabanan, you first you present the Deraisa, and then you present the Darabanan. I mean, it's true, you already know about the Deraisa, but it just, that's a presumption which you're making before you talk about it, so it makes sense to mention it. I mean, there's a certain sense to that. But the problem is the problem about, you know, all the other things. That's true. If I mention that, that's a good idea also to mention the deraisas. To mention first the deraisas and then the rabbanans, because the rabbanans stem from the deraisas. Like, the rabbanans came deraisa. So before you talk about the rabbanan, talk about the deraisa. So that's a good idea also. Conceptually, you gain more insight into conceptually.
You get more conceptual understanding of the rabbanan.
Correct.
Right. I mean, the only thing I
don't... That's true. So David says, yeah, but if you're going to do that, then I mean, it's true that Ron has an answer, but if they do that, then you should do that with really all of them. And then it will turn out, by doing that, you're not going to have any chronology anymore. The whole chronology of the Yom is going to be mixed up, because now you're going to have to go through all, basically you're going to talk about almost all the Malachos.
Right.
So now the whole Seder of the Mishnah ends up not being intact. But the Tos doesn't say that. He just says that the reason why you don't have to do it for the other ones is because those other ones are brought in Agav Grara. And that's still the problem. I mean, the problem is still there. So what is he talking about? What does he mean? That's the one. Why is that so important? I mean, how many tailors are there? That's the one thing that you got to tell us. And that's the problem. You can't just say something like this. You can't say that's the only thing the Mishnah wanted to teach, and then everything's great. I mean, but you can't just say that. I mean, the Ron doesn't even see the need to justify it. He says it as if this makes sense. I mean, as if there's some implicit logic in what he's saying. I don't see the implicit logic. It seems to me just like another random case. If you would have read through the Masechta, I don't think anyone would have noticed that this is prominent. It's not clear exactly what he's talking about on this Friday thing either. The Mincha. Sounds like somehow he holds that's relevant to his answer. I mean, he's saying, he's bothered, I think, a little bit, is because why in this thing, in this list, is it bringing in the Gezerah before Mincha? That before Mincha, you're not allowed to eat Kuvi Kuvi Asuda. It's nothing to do with Shabbos at all. I mean, it's also on Shabbos, but it's every day. So, I mean, on a certain level, it's because it's on Friday. These are all the things on Friday. I mean, but he's somehow saying is that since it's really all dragged in together with the machat, the chayat thing, so it puts that in also.
It seems like the same type of answer.
It's funny, this last thing he's mentioning about the Friday thing, you know, the Samach Lamecha thing. Because he should have mentioned that Originally, when he was showing you how the chronology of the Masechta is going, it's starting on Erev Shabbos and working its way through. So you should have mentioned then that it's starting with Erev Shabbos with the Samach LeMincha thing, you know, the Mincha deal, even though it's not really a Shabbos thing, but it's dragging along the order, the order of Erev Shabbos, and this is a halacha on Erev Shabbos, even though it's not, you know. Like, if you would have said that then, you wouldn't have been so bothered. But apparently he didn't like saying that then. At that point, it wouldn't have been understood because it's not a Shabbos thing. But somehow now, when he says this, and you're dragging everything in which is related to that, now somehow he seems to think it makes sense to put it in this non-Shabbos halacha, which is hard to understand. Why? Like, why is he putting this here? Did this somehow become clearer? The fact that it has the regular chol halacha is clear now that you're saying that this machad thing, this chayad, everything is being dragged in. Why is that? Why is it better now than it was before that point? But it sounds the way he places it, like he kind of ignored that problem originally when he was showing you the Seder. He didn't start with the Mincha thing. Ignore that. And that's a question also. Is he changing his mind in the middle here? Like in the beginning of the thing, the Ron started saying is that he's trying to show you the whole Seder from Erev Shabbos is really working through the whole day. You know, it sounds like he holds these are all halachos that he wants to teach, and it's ordering them according to the day. And then he's basically saying, no, really, it only wanted to teach one thing about the Mach, the Chayat. And then it just kind of threw them in. I mean, was he going that track originally? Or he was originally just taking as a given that it wants to teach all these things for whatever reason. I don't know why. And then he's just showing the order. And then he's saying, oh, but by the way, the only reason why I brought them in anyways is because the Chaya. I guess you can say that. Okay, so it's just like this, basically what this parak is doing, I guess the Masechta, it couldn't do, let's just what the answer. The question is, why couldn't it just start with the Chayat and work its way through? Okay, that's what the Ron has to answer. So he's answering, the reason why the Mishnah couldn't do that is because then you'd think, it wouldn't really be understandable, because it would be as if Shabbos begins on Erev Shabbos. You have all these details on Erev Shabbos. What's Erev Shabbos? There's no Erev Shabbos in the Torah, there's a Shabbos in the Torah. So it would imply that there's intrinsic Yisurim of Erev Shabbos. So that's not true. So the Shabbos is only based upon Shabbos and the Kein Deoraisa of Shabbos. So what it had to do is, before you start a whole string of gezeros that are on Erev Shabbos, you had to provide context and show how a Durabanan comes about. And the model is basically creating one model for the idea of how a Durabanan comes about, which is the Chaya. The Chaya, first it says the Deoraisa, so you understand the concept of the Deoraisa of Hotzah. Now you show the Chaya how, based upon that Deoraisa of Melacha Shabbos, now on Erev Shabbos, which is Samach to Shabbos, is going to be a gezeira, and now you understand the gezeira de Rabbanan. Now that shows you how the Rabbanan works. You understand, you get concepts about how the Rabbanan is formulated gezeira from studying the deraisa together with lo yaseh chayav machatam. Now kashem shegozru on the chayat, so too there goes there on the other ones. Not they were gozer by those and they're also. No, kashem is in the same manner as they were gozer by the chayat. That's the conceptual context with which you should understand all the other gezeirah d'rabbanan which are thrown into this parak. So before you had a string of gezeirahs of Erev Shabbos, it wanted to show you a model for how the whole idea of gezeirahs work. What's the concept of gezeirahs, and why are they assuming on Erev Shabbos when it's not Shabbos yet? Then you could understand that now we need to go to each one. It's Yishiyah Nanmana. You look at Hotzah and you see the model and you understand the concept. You could use that as an approach to be able to understand the other gezeirahs. And it could be that's what he's saying there of Shabbos, the Samach L'mincha also. Because Samach L'mincha really is not a Shabbos thicker thing. It really has nothing to do with Shabbos. But besides, practically, it's part of the day. So, or, you know, on Friday, it exists, you know, it's in the same Seder. But the thing is, but by putting it here, you could gain insight into that Darabonon also. Because all Darabonons are based on the same concepts, how they work. So the thing is that since it does fit in here, because it's part of it is on Friday, every day, but also on Friday. And now when you do that one, you'll have a concept about how that Darabonon works, because this is showing you a model for how Darabonons are structured. I mean, so therefore it's good to throw in whatever Darabonon you could. Again, you can't just throw in any random Darabonon, but whatever Darabonon you could fit into the Seder Hayom is good, even though it's not really a Shabbos thing per se. But it's the model, this mission, this parak, throwing you a model for how Darabonon works and how it's built up off the Deraisa. And you couldn't do that if you didn't first show the Deraisa, at least in one case. But it still wants to go in this chronology. You can't just start, then there's no reason to. You don't have to do it in every single instance. You understand? Now they see how it works. Now when you learn the Hashi Almana, you'll know to turn to the seventh parak and study the sugyas or whatever. You'll know to study the sugyas of Bishul before you can understand them fully. Okay? But one thing I mentioned is, it could be another good approach would be, Gary is trying to mention an approach, but I mean, it could be he's right, but I think to get more knowledge about it might be a good idea to understand, to look into the sugya of Lo Yitzei Chayav Machato, even for my answer also, I think, to go into that and to see how exactly that's working. What's the sugya there? What's the svaras in Lo Yitzei Chayav Machato? What are the concepts behind that gezeira? Maybe how it ties into the deoraisa. I mean, it's a good idea. It's possible that it really does serve as a very good model. You know? It's possible it's just the one of many, but it could be that there's, you know, you're looking at concepts in there which would really help bring out some ideas there. It could be it would be a good idea to do. I don't know if we'll get there, you know, but it could be that would help shed light on this far. You know, I mean, it could be the reason we can't fully understand the import of the Ran unless we really understood that sugya. I mean, the Ran knew that sugya. I mean, it could be that's why we're so baffled by what the Ran is saying. It's the explanation. Because the Ran understands that you already know the sugya of Lo Yitzei Chayat. I mean, how are you going to understand him? Of course, he's telling you that. You know that you have to look at that sugya. But we're kind of trying to take a shortcut and just try to figure out what he's saying without really doing that sugya. So it could be that's a mistake on our part here at this point, you know? It could be that's the right way to go. I didn't do it. Okay, so the Rambam has another approach. Okay? The Rambam has another approach. Okay, another approach to the problem of why it is that it started with Hotzah. Okay, maybe let me just mention quickly what Tosa's approach was. Tosa's, the first two answers in Tosa's. The one answer was because Rabbi Yonasi, even though really there's a chronology, Rabbi Yonasi loved this Mishnah because it has so many halachas that come from it. We counted like 10 halachas that you derive from this one case. So of course, so what? And then he said also because it's very, very common. Halachas Hotzah is very common. And it's the derech of the Tana to organize things based on common. To start with something which is very common. Like you see in Shor, the Arba Avos Nezikin, it started with Shor, which is the most common. It didn't start with the order of the Pesukim, but it started with Shor. So we said basically with Tosus' idea, that one idea in both of those answers is that there's one idea in memorizing things based on chronology, that you go in chronology. There's another idea that the first thing a person does, you remember the best. It's just a phenomenon. That whatever you do first, you remember the best. If you think back to things you learn, First thing in a given sugya, you always remember. It's most prominent in the person's memory. So therefore, Rabbi Yonasi saw the first thing as a unique opportunity. So therefore, and now he held, this Mishnah was like the ultimate perfect Mishnah. Because Mishnayos always do is try to be compact, teach you many halachos in a compact way. And this Mishnah, he held, was exceptional. And it's totally unique in its ability to have a simple case of an Ani and Asher, a very practical case, which has encoded in the case like 10 halachas, all from a very simple case, easy to memorize. So he held that if you were going to memorize something, you should remember this. Because this one case basically teaches you so many halachas. So therefore, even though you have the Seder for the rest of Masechta, but you start off with mentioning mentioning this case. So you'll remember this. And the second thing was that Hotzah also is very, very, very practical. So if you want to remember, at least you want to remember one thing, you remember the most practical thing. The thing which comes up all the time. So it's always both. It's basically conceptually a great thing to remember because it has all these halachos, and it's practically a great thing to remember because it's very common. So in terms of memory, it's that was Tosa's idea. In terms of memory, it's, you know, and you're not going to mess up the whole sequence of the Masechta because it's only the first thing. The first thing is a different type of a track. First thing you remember, and then you remember it goes in sequence. And that was Tosa's answer. Okay, now the Rambam sounds like he might be in the same ballpark. Okay? That's why I mentioned Tosas again. So the Rambam says like this, Umash Hitzrichu Amri and Kafach. Umash Hitzrichu Haskabadin Yotzav Rishos Roshos. Vav Pishay Menu Misoch Avos Malachos. Klamar Motzim Rishos Roshos. So really, Yotzav is really mentioned later in the 7th parak. Why do you have to start here? It says, Lefisha Malacha Zum Mitsuya Harbe. Because this Malacha is very frequent. Ubanak Shalom Aharov, and people are really stumble on this one more than anything else. Okay, people are very, very stumbling on this. Mimreshi ain't a tricha kalem, because it doesn't need any utensils. Okay, it doesn't need any utensils. Okay, most malachas, you want to cook, you need an oven. So you have to have an oven, so people don't necessarily have an oven all the time. But Hotzah, what do you need? Anything. Carry anything. There's nothing you can't carry. So carrying, there's no specialization in the thing, so therefore people are always doing it. By accident, on purpose, whatever, it's all over the place. Okay, it's totally unspecialized action. Okay, you don't need anything. And also, secondly, to teach us that it's a malacha. It seems like it's not really even a malacha. What are you doing? Are you carrying a thing? That's a malacha? So you have to teach me that it's a malacha. So put it first to strengthen it. Okay, putting whatever's first is strengthened in your mind. So strengthening it to show asya. Because it's derived from a drasha. The fact that it's malacha is derived from a drasha. So it's not. It doesn't seem at first sight. I guess the thing is that the other malachos are derived because you have no malacha. They're automatically malacha. You understand what malacha is, but Hotzah you don't think is malacha. And it's only malach because of a drasha. So it's saying it's in order to strengthen that fact, so people will be aware of it and know about it, so we'll put it first. So saying put it first of all, because it's very common, because you don't need any tools, and secondly, because it doesn't seem like a malacha. It doesn't seem like a malacha. Okay, I had an answer to Johnny, your question from yesterday. Johnny asked, it's a factual question, but I think I can answer it. They say, well, what's the thing with the tools? The tools really should be why it doesn't seem like a malacha, because you don't need any kalim. Right? Not why it's... We understand why it's not so common. And why it's very common. It's very common, because it's very common. People are always carrying. But the tools really shows why... You said it seems to show why you'd think it's not a malacha, because you don't use any tools. Right? But I don't know. I don't think it's true. I think the reason why it doesn't seem like a malacha is not because you're using tools or because you're not using tools, but it's because you're not really... Malacha is where you're changing an object. You're really accomplishing something, you know? And you're not accomplishing anything in the object. You don't need a tool. If I could accomplish something with my hands, if I rip a... I do tolesh, let's say. I pull something off of a tree. I mean, it's true. I may not use a tool, but it's clear that it's a malacha because I'm accomplishing something. I had a tree, now I have a fruit. You know what I mean? So that's... The reason why it seems like it's not malacha is because in carrying, what are you accomplishing? You're not really doing anything. But not because of the tools. The tools is because why it's very frequent, because I think you don't need anything. Means there are no, at least even tolesh is only when there's a tree and when there's a fruit. Like, I don't know if it's kalem, like a hammer or a net, you know what I mean? It could also be there's specific items which it applies to. Hotzah is basically could be with anything. I mean, that's what other gears of the shade of Tzricha Klum, not Kalem. I mean, could be that's even better, you know. But the idea is that there's no specifications. It could apply to literally anything. Hotzah could be with anything. That's why it's so common. Because it's not because it's not a tool, it's because it really can. I mean, sorry, it's not because it's not productive, it's just because it could happen with anything. You could do Hotzah with anything. There's no conditions that are necessary for Hotzah. But the reason why it's not productive isn't because tools per se, it's because it's just not productive. You know, what are you doing? You're not doing anything.
So
it's backing up why it's more common. Because common's a thing. Everyone could say this is common, that's common. Who's to say? I mean, depends who you are. But he's showing you a qualitative reason why it's common. It's common because you don't need anything. So he's showing you that. But the why it's not, it doesn't seem like a malacha is clear. It doesn't seem like a malacha. It's you're not doing anything. Okay? I mean, we're going to get to that. That's kind of related to the malacha grow up part. Okay, but the question is, so what's his two answers, though? How does he fit in? Is he the same as Tosos? What are his two answers? It's like two things. The reason why he puts it first is because it's very common, and people stumble on it a lot, and also because people think it's not a malacha. So to strengthen it, he put it first. The question is, they're all the same type of thing as Tosos? I mean, it's a practical thing, sounds like a little bit like that, the common thing. And then the Malacha Gerua also sounds like, kind of, well, Malacha Gerua wasn't, because Malacha Gerua, the Tosos was, that was because Loitzei Achayat, that whole thing, you know? But what's the... That's different.
Totally
the
thing different. Is different twistable.
It's definitely a different twist. Yeah, okay. It reminds me of something we did last year, I think. It says, Ulmatem osam ushmatem lasosam. It's a pasuk. Bechule. But it's basically saying that you should learn the Torah. And it's like a Torah maybe l'day maisa, I think. So that part of the chiv of Talmud Torah is because in Talmud Torah... is it teaches you halachas, and you know how to live, and how to keep halacha, and keep, you know. So an element in Talmud Torah is halacha, is to teach people halacha, since you know how to act. So I think Tosus was because of memorization. That's the way we understood Tosus. That's because of memorization. I don't know what I'm saying is memorization. It's not saying memorization. The thing is that an element in Talmud Torah is to teach people the halacha, so they know how to act, and to make sure that people act properly. So the thing is that in organization of the Mishnah, that's a factor in Talmud Torah. Right, like, for instance, if a person has to choose, should I learn a sugya in brachos or should I learn a sugya in kachem? So he should learn a sugya in brachos because he has to know how to make brachos. And that's, you know, that's part of, you have to act, the halachic system. So the thing is that Rabbi Nasi is organizing his thing, so a factor in organization, because he's organizing a book, a work of Talmud Torah. So a factor is the practical aspect of Shemir HaMitzvahs. So the thing is that in terms of Shemir HaMitzvahs, Hotzah, that's what he says, Banech Shalom Al HaRov, means it's very common, and people are really, it's all over the place, people are always doing Hotzah, because you don't need anything, and additionally, people think it's not even a malacha, you know what I mean, so people are just going to do Hotzah, it's going to happen all over the place. Practically, people can do it because, first of all, it's very, very common, and because they don't even think it's Aser. You know, so his thing is that it's important, part of Talmud Torah is to teach people the fact, everyone should know, everyone knows the beginning of Shabbos, I mean, or whatever, anyone knows about Mishnayos, anyone learns Mishnayos, knows the first Mishnah on Shabbos, you open up Mishnayos Shabbos, you'll know it. So part of the organization of Mishnayos is making sure that the Torah is known and make sure Halacha is kept. So we held that when this area in Halacha demands Chizuk, because people are going to be, people are Nichshalim Baal HaRov, so therefore in his organization, He wanted to begin Shabbos with this thing. If you teach people, at least it will be known to people this halacha, because it's halacha. That is a dimension of Talmud Torah. Because even though there are lots of reasons to organize something, you think you organize something because of the intrinsic logical structure of the thing, or the Seder Hayom memory. Another thing is that Talmud Torah is there. an element of Talmud Torah is for Shmiras HaMetzvos. So you learn the Mitzvot. So what he's saying is that the Torah, he specifically didn't put it in the seventh parak with the Malachos. He specifically shoved it to the beginning so that the Mimchazik, because he held it in the Nid Chisa. It's like a totally different type of answer from Tosfos. You know what I mean? It's like a different kind of a reason, different type of a reason to of organization. I mean, it's a chiddush that you do that. Right, totally different stylistic concern. It's not the normal type of thing you'd think about, you know what I mean? You wouldn't necessarily think of that. I mean, it's a practical reason. But that's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. Kiyum of Talmud Torah is the Shmiras HaMitzvos. So that's for a person personally, and that's for the Baal HaMesorah, who's organizing the halachic, the work of the Torah Shebaal Peh, to keep in mind, and to take into account that there are people who are keeping halacha here. And every kid who learns Mishnayos, and everyone who knows Mishnayos is going to know the first Mishnah on Shabbos, more so than anything else. If this were only in the seventh parak, it could be to have a lot of people who are violating Otzah. The fact that this is well known, people aren't going to violate Otzah, where they otherwise would have. So it's like a totally different track, you know what I mean? Totally different track. The Rotoza's track was a memorization track, you know what I mean? And the commonality there was because it's more... Since it's common, therefore you want it to be more memorable, you know, people to know the ideas about it. Not because the Torah doesn't mention because of people are going to be nechshal in it. You know what I mean? Like in Shor. Shor isn't common, and therefore you're worried that people are going to be nechshal. Shor was just common because it wants people to remember that the halacha was sort of common. Okay? Okay. So I think what we're going to do next week is, I'd like to do is Rosh Hashanah, so give a machas chon shofros. It's an Lam Beis of Aleph. Okay, Rosh Hashanah based on the Mishnah. You'll see. For starters, you can read. I mean, you could read just the Bekiyas. I'd recommend reading the Mishnahs. Maybe a Mishnah to Mishnah. I mean, it's not that. Then probably you have to do it. You see, we get the story about and Yavne what they did. But it's before the story. I mean, just read. It's not so much. It's like half an hour. But just get all the pshat. But the main thing is machlokes in the Mishnah. Okay, there's three positions really about how you organize the brachos.